All right, guys, we are live here in Las Vegas, the Mint Collective. We are here with a dear friend, Rich Layton, Layton Sports Cards. Man, how's the show been?
This show's been awesome. I mean, come on. This is great. Rocco's here, my son.
That's dope.
Tamara turns 8 months old. This is his first trip to Vegas. It couldn't be any better. I'm absolutely blessed to have him. So
love it. This couch that you guys are sitting on right now, I'm going to go back to it. What era do you think this couch is from?
1966.
Yeah.
Early
70s.
And I really feel that, like, if it can tell stories, it would have a...
It'd have a lot of them.
Have a lot of them, right? What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, I definitely agree with your stories. I'm going 1966.
So basically before the hotel was built. So basically they built the hotel around the couch.
They had a crane this window.
There was like a when plot of land. Built? It was a plot of land with a couch, and when they're we're gonna build a hotel casino around the couch.
When was the hotel built?
I'm going to say 1992.
Yeah.
And that's
definitely
we're
like, hey, we want to do a vintage vibe. We want to do like a...
You're right.
That was a shot in the dark.
Cody.
Sinatra.
Cody, look it up. And if it's right... I think I heard it once. No, the couch was here in 92.
Yes.
They were building it around... like. Right. So, yeah, technically, I think... Yeah.
No, I think definitely this couch was... 100% manufactured in 1990.
Are you telling me that this couch is only 30 years old?
There's no way.
No. Only?
No.
So this couch is absolutely disgusting. And when I sat in it, I definitely felt...
Violated?
No, not violated, but I felt like I was getting...
Happy to be wearing pants.
I felt like I was getting...
Would you say you aggressively sat on it?
I did not aggressively sit on it. I felt like I was, you know... I was happy I was wearing pants. That's the main thing right there.
Dude, what shoe size are you?
That's like 17.
17?
God.
Jeez. I have huge feet.
There are some boats.
I have huge digits.
Holy moly.
Just like a
like your phone number?
Yeah. No, okay. Like a big everything. So yeah.
Big 17. Everything.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Hey man.
Anyways, so why are we talking about that? So 8 month old son?
Yes, sir.
You said all right, is first kid?
First kid.
Yeah. And are you actively getting him into the hobby, or how are you going to introduce him to that?
So when he was born, we already kind of started accumulating, before he had been born, Star Wars cards.
Oh, really?
His whole nursery is Star Wars themed. He's got, like, you know, lightsabers on the walls and, you know, may the force be with you kind of everywhere, and Star Wars wallpaper and everything. So we started building up like a lot of old school Star Wars stuff, like, you know, kind of high-end, like, on-card James Earl Jones, Carrie Fisher, you know, all the old...
He's going to be disappointed by the hobby, then.
Yeah.
No,
it's
going to
be a big letdown, you know, once he really gets into it.
Yeah.
So his Star Wars collection right now is absolutely insane. A lot of Stellar Sigs, like, high-end on-card stuff. I bought up a lot of, like, the original Millennium Falcon. I have that unopened...
like
I love that,
like the original, like the real one.
It's like my dad. Yeah, I want to get him the hobby. Yeah. I bought him a complete set of 1952 tops.
Yeah.
Like I was like, I just want you to be like
PSA 10 mantle.
I think you just bought
like the best stuff. Yeah. I just want you to be like a fan of collecting.
Just want to
like
get
the best stuff.
You know, just kind of start y'all. We'll see how it goes from there.
He's 8 months, and you're like, we're doing it. All right,
not to get too serious, but yeah, I mean, you know, anything he ever wants, so long as he earns it, he's going to get it. He's got to earn it, though.
I love that.
That's
the role of the parent, man. I love that.
We tried, you know, having children for the better part of 10 years. Multiple failed attempts at IVF. You know, surgeries. We did the whole... fertilization thing, and you know, drugs and hormones, and we did it all. Saved up money, failed, saved up more money, failed, saved up more money, failed. Eventually, we, fortunately, thanks to this industry, saved up enough money to do a surrogacy and had two good embryos, two. Not like 10 or 20. A lot of people kind of amass a lot of embryos. Mm-hmm. We had two. First try with our surrogate, and out came Rocco.
Love
it. It was a, you know, it that was a... It was a long, long road.
That's
to get
awesome,
there.
Though. Like, yeah. I love that. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm just, well, like, this.
I didn't mean to get
like
too,
the origin story,
too heavy
like,
on you guys.
No, that's,
you
know, no,
no,
I love
it's
it.
Awesome, though. Like, we're all dads here.
Yeah.
You know? It's just like.
You're awesome. About to be.
You're about to be. Soon, July.
Yeah. I can't wait.
July 28th, baby.
July 15th. We'll see. Not, no, it's not, not going to be on Doug's birthday.
We should. We need to have a pool. We need to have like a bracket.
Pool.
You know,
got to have a pool on the size, right? The weight, the length, everything. Like
surprise. I right now, like in the like 2 percentile, like in like size, like. A big child, which is weird because
you're tiny.
I'm a tiny man.
the wife
is pretty small as well. So like,
right.
We're just gonna have a giant child probably.
Have you seen Rocco?
You're not.
Yeah. he's as wide.
Probably
as
gonna
tall.
Come out big, and then all of a sudden they're gonna be like, oh, the genetics.
Oh yeah.
Genetics.
It'll catch up.
Yeah.
The hope is in like 20 years, there's a podcast with Rocco and, you know, I don't know, whatever you name your kid.
Landon. God,
Landon. Yeah.
Landon.
That would be amazing.
Landon.
Here in Vegas, Layton? Right?
Yep.
Here in Landon.
Layton.
Layton. Yeah, I'm naming my kid Layton.
Are you really?
Rocco Layton.
Layton Anderson. I figured like the name is so good. I had it first name and middle
twice.
Name. Kind of like the prop Victor Mesa.
Yeah,
name so good. Layton. Had to name him twice.
Yeah, I love it.
So yeah,
that's well, amazing.
Layton Anderson.
One of the questions I always love to ask is so guys that have been in the industry for a long time like yourself, like how did it start? Like what was the real like origin story for you?
Well, so we're okay. In the very beginning, we're about to open a gaming store. Basically, that was our first plan. At the time, I was delivering pizza for Domino's. I was doing side construction work and kind of just making ends meet, trying to pay the bills. And we realized at that point that we had a giant need for like a gaming store in our community. There was nothing there. Had everything lined up. We're ready to go.
What year was this?
This was 2010-ish, about that. Before, you know, sports cards were even on our radar. So we wake up one day. We're kind of driving around, figuring things out. We already had a place lined up, had business plan in place, had a loan lined up, the whole deal. And a place called Aetherstorm Gaming opened up smack in the middle of our town out of nowhere. We're like... Okay, it was a sign like
pivot.
Yeah, pivot immediately. So the construction job fell through. I took a bad spill, fell a couple stories off a ladder. Like for real. It was pretty bad. Both ankles were broken, hip was messed up, took some lumps and bruises, you know what I mean? Was totally laid up, and then I, you know, kind of, you know, hobbled around and delivered pizza out of my car. And things were really, you know, dark and pretty grim for us, and we didn't know what we were going to do. Sarah came home from work one day with a box of baseball cards, which I hadn't opened any in God knows how long at that point. I collected as a kid. Yeah. Hadn't opened anything in ages. It was like 2011 at this point. She brought home like a box of Series 2, Series 1 tops, 2011. Opened up the box, pulled like a relic card. It was the first time I had seen that. You know, because I didn't open anything in like the late 90s. So I didn't know there were autographs. I didn't know there were game used jersey pieces. I hadn't seen any of that. So my eyes were, you know, my eyes lit up. I thought this was awesome. Wow. So that took me to our local card shop. I bought a Beckett, which I didn't know at the time that's not what you did anymore because eBay was already a thing and people were already using that to comp cards. I had no idea. went and got a Beckett, and that kind of eventually took me online to start searching through Google and everything else, which takes me to YouTube. And I found guys like, you know, Mojo Break with their, you know, science fair poster board doing their thing.
It was a break calendar.
You know, at the time that was really cool, right? Nobody was kind of doing things like that, and I thought it was amazing. I saw Chad, you know, Firehand. He was doing his thing back then as True 17. He was ripping till 3, 4, 5 in the morning some nights.
Chris
Justice, yep. Cards Infinity.
What I love though, like the last, you know, 3, 4 hours that we've been talking, like I love everybody that's successful in the business is they built it through the love.
Yep.
You know, yeah. And that's what's so cool. And like I love hearing that, and I love hearing that you're like, dude, it's just like.
Oh, we're
a hobby for you, you know, and it's like you've created a huge empire of what you do now, but it's also it comes back to immediately the love of the hobby.
And absolutely,
that's what's all.
Well, and you mentioned Chris, you mentioned Chad. I'm gonna put you on the spot here, and you don't have to mention us. Mount Rushmore Breakers,
right now,
now
forever,
now operations. Or individual breakers,
probably operations.
Operations.
No, so the business, not
yeah,
the breaker,
not the because that's he brought that up, and I'm like, yeah, I'm like, operations or because there's individual breakers that I think are amazing, but I may not say like their breaking operation is as good as the personality. Mm.
I gotta say, you guys, without a doubt, you're one of the first breakers I ever watched.
Thank you,
and then you're also. Like the first breaker to ever respond to my emails.
When
I was getting into the hobby, I was sending out emails to people. Hey, how does this work? Where do you get your cards? How do you ship? How do you do this? And they were an open book.
I remember one of
They helped me start.
One of the first interactions, really cool. I think it was on Twitter, and it was really, really early. We had a fantasy football league. That was all industry people. Yep. Like you had like Tracy Hackler and we were basically talking about it. And Rich basically came in. He's all, "Well, I'd love for somebody to like invite me to something like this." that was literally the first time I was like,
"Yeah,
Rich Layton." I'm like,
we had a similar website at the time, right? So we were working out the kinks of a website.
Then basically, then the relationship just kind of snowballed after that.
Yeah.
We were like,
"Yeah,
being absolutely. A guy that's from the outside though, I love that like." That,
yeah,
like what you guys are talking about right now is like
the camaraderie.
You guys are competitors, right? You guys are competitors, and you guys have so much respect for each other. Like that,
absolutely.
That's what's so awesome about this industry. Like
I will always
love everything about sports card collecting because like it just brings people together.
Yeah, you know? some of the best times I've ever had in my life. Have been in this town with that guy right there.
I mean, he got his name Double Down Dan.
I mean, stories that literally we can talk about that we have told people
and they
hundreds
still,
of times.
And they still kill me.
And yeah. They and still, we just, every time we talk about it, we're just laughing our asses off.
We've had some amazing times in this town and other towns as well, but man, in Vegas especially, from all the early industry summits.
Oh, dude.
Well,
and then I remember it was at 14, I think it was 14 industry summit. It was your first industry summit, I believe. And we
that,
were set
with that. We were like,
and we were
set up
and we were, and we were set up and we were doing the Beckett industry summit case breaks.
That's right.
And there was pretty much a disaster.
Wow.
It went and seen Rich basically stepping in, Sarah stepping in
to help.
Like
us.
We sorted cards, ripping, and then you have like all of our competitors. You had like Larry from Live Case Break.
Yep.
Like all of our competitors that were basically like came in and just started helping.
Everybody was like,
so as a guy that's. Introduction basically is I've been a collector since I was 6 and I'm the guy that's like I got connected with a bunch of cool kids and started hanging out. But what was that business model like in the Wild Wild West.
It was just like a side business, 2010 to 2017.
What was the business model there? It was just like you're doing it because you loved it.
Yep.
Or 100%.
I mean, really, the money was like secondary. It was like
the money didn't come until about 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like real money. I mean, we were getting by.
Yeah.
I mean,
but none of us were doing this with the intention of getting rich. We started breaking in 2012.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, both, I mean, like,
that's 5 years ago.
I wear your shirt and it's like breaking since 2010. I'm like, the f***?
I know. Yeah. It's wild.
Were you making money? You
know? No, not really. I mean, like, so me and him had an apartment. We had an apartment. We lived in an apartment together and we did our kitchen table.
We had low overhead.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was the great thing about it.
I would say that, like, I love that, though.
Yeah.
You quit your day job.
2012. Yeah.
2012. I think. With me, 2016.
I mean, and you had a lot of stuff going on at the time
where like this was actually blowing up. Like, I actually and I thought this was going to be my career path. I opened up my own music store.
Right.
I had basically been doing it since I was 17. A couple of the guys I worked with, we bought a music store in San Jose, and I was
Hold on, don't gloss over that.
No.
What position? Or what?
What position?
No, not position.
Well,
last night I basically was convincing you that I can be a defensive end. What were you?
Last night I was like, Joe, I think I can play in the NFL.
Yeah.
And then he proved me wrong.
You cannot.
He proved me wrong.
Yeah. I'm sure that didn't take very long.
Joe humbled me last night.
I'm not surprised.
he plays guitar.
If you were asking what he would play, a guitar player.
So my main instrument is guitar.
Bass. Lead, what are you at?
Electric guitar.
Lead.
Well, you kind of do it all. Like you play it.
You're a show pony.
A show pony.
You're a peacock.
But in bands.
I see that, though. I see that in your personality. You're a peacock.
I'm a peacock.
I love that.
He's a front man.
I was in the band, too.
Yeah, so. Doug was in multiple bands.
You played bass, though.
No.
No.
What did he do? He was vocals.
Lead singer.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me hear it.
Like, what do you want me to sing?
Anything.
So, I in high school.
Are you really?
In high school, 17 years old.
I did not believe that.
He was
that.
A singer.
Yeah.
No.
So, 17
so years old. So, we had an original band, and then we did a cover band later.
Like, yeah. I've heard your voices.
So,
are you serious?
Yeah. Pick a song. What do you want me to sing?
That's why you guys are getting weird.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort.
Damn.
Suffocation. No breathing. Don't give up. If I cut my arm bleeding.
Oh, yeah, no, you could say, we've already done it.
We're censoring it, though.
Hey, we've already done it.
Yeah, but that's not like a great voice.
Oh, man.
Wow. I mean, I'll tell you. I mean, Joe is fucking, he's just really, you're not holding back.
Wow,
the ego is taking a hit today.
No, I was more of a.
Why would I hold back?
I controlled the crowd. I got out there and did the crowd. I got down. I jumped into the pit while I was singing.
Did you?
Like, yeah, you're just getting so hit. Like. I would when we were in a cover band, we played for 3 hours. So my voice was gone. Hour in,
in that band, I played drums. Not toot my own horn, but I could pretty much do it all.
I have no musical experience at all.
No frontman experience.
No. So just
you don't need that. You don't need that to break.
No.
So let's go back to the Mount Rushmore thing.
Yeah.
Because Ani named one, and then we went way off.
Then Doug just started doing.
Doug did a Papa Roach acapella, pandered the podcast, which
has never been done before.
No.
I was thinking about doing Freebird, but I went with Papa Roach.
That's right. Yeah.
I say Chris Justice without a doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we were talking about.
Has to be. By the way, we hosted a chalet on the 14th hole at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. And I reached out just kind of on a whim, see if Chris would want to go because I know he's a golf guy. Showed up, no questions asked, and hung out and had a great time.
So
he's the nicest guy.
He's the guy that pulled the orange.
Back that was trout. like
Right.
Back in the day, that was like, oh, he might be good.
I heard something about him.
He was the first one to actually do the hand cam, you know what I mean? Like, nobody was doing that at the time. Right. So he didn't necessarily do group breaks, but it was all personal boxes. So he had a shop. He's like, I'll just take orders and film it. Send out the cards, you know? So it hadn't been done before. So Chad Firehand, actually, we had a run-in with Chad because Chad Firehand was doing breaks and filming it, but like taking, like, okay, I got 29 spots and I'm going to get one spot. That's the only money he's making, is he's just taking a spot in the break.
Right.
So that's how he did it, right? So because he just wanted a piece of it, right? Yeah. So we came in and we were selling spots on eBay, right? You're so we took it to a business level. No, he messaged us, and I love Chad, but he messaged us and he's like, your eBay spots are killing the hobby. And I'm like, at the time I was like, you know, I just hope I could have as much customers as you. You know what I mean? Like, we're trying to get there and that's how we're doing it. Right. But what I didn't understand was he was doing it for fun.
Yeah,
I thought he was doing it as a business because that's always. But
that's what. But like, I think always come back to that. Always from like my perspective is like always come back to, yeah, it's a business, and yeah, we're all making money in the business. But like, it always comes back to what is fun for everybody.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, yeah. Always.
100%.
Yeah, I mean, so 2 would be Chris, 3 would be Firehand.
Yeah.
Chad.
I think we're the same.
And let's
and then fourth, I mean, that's the hardest part, right? So I mean, for me, Hodges is way up there. Yep. He brought early on, like way early before I even knew the technology was available, his camera looked amazing.
Yeah.
Really early. And we all kind of saw that and we're like, man, we got to up our game.
Yeah. Do you guys like, who are the guys that you guys like in the breaking business copied as far as like flipping and
there wasn't a lot.
Slow roll.
I think we all kind of copied as we went. Yeah.
Who was the first movie? Like
there was no blueprint though. Like we were all like kind of learning on the fly. Like
did
slow
you?
Roll. Yeah. Yeah. Honestly,
you were
like,
a slow roll.
Slow roll.
Like Rich would like do a technique and we all did this stuff, like stuff that like doesn't work. And then you got to pivot. But that's some stuff does work.
Yeah.
And I mean, we used to do the side angle and break like this way.
Correct.
Like 5 hours. Yeah.
I think we started, we were watching you and you started doing like the hand cam.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, why didn't we think of that? Duh. So,
that's what's cool though. It's like, these are like, you guys are the innovators of the industry of the like, it's super like.
Dinosaurs now, but yeah. I mean,
this is like, it from a hobbyist is like, it's so normal now. Like everybody just sees like, yeah, everything on Whatnot, TikTok, everything. So like,
yeah, everything.
But you guys are like the guys that like 10 years ago, I was like, there was a guy that did like a slow roll for the first time and.
The word boom?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Paul no,
when,
hit.
When we first met.
I mean,
2015.
Jizu, right?
Yeah.
2015, you were like, hey. If you pull anything as a heater, I want you to say boom.
Or shoe came up. Like,
shoe came up.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
I want you to be like, hey, mojo. Like, all that stuff. And I was like, hey, yeah, fine. And we broke like a flawless case for
$500. So triple threats. We got a Sandy Koufax 101. Remember
that? Yeah, I know. And I was like, ah, shoot. I don't know what this means.
Everything you guys see nowadays, everything you see. Was done by the original guys, figuring it out on the fly. You know, it was a lot.
You guys are the original guys. That's what.
And we got a lot of heat for it in the beginning because we were figuring it out.
Yeah.
It wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
But then it laid the framework for what became breaking as we know it today.
And what's cool about it, too, is like we were the young guys, right? Like, and there wasn't like, we went like 10 years almost without anybody else jumping in.
Yeah.
Right. So you had the old card shops and then us. And it took a long time for them to embrace us. But now it's cool is like seeing Chad, you know, seeing Bless, seeing those guys come in here and the younger generation has come into this hobby to give you hope for the future, right? Because like, we're like, there was nobody. Underneath us.
No, I mean, that's and honestly, I think we all kind of looked at each other and we were like, we were kind of concerned with it. We're like, we all knew it. We're like, if we are like looking around and being like, we're the young guys in this industry, I'm like, something needs to change.
And it did.
And it did. And I think we
Pandy
all,
hit.
And
know?
The thing is that we all embraced it as well. Like we, think we that knew if, we needed that.
Yeah.
If the pandemic didn't happen, that whole entire bump didn't happen, do you think that it would have been different?
Yes. Or a lot less young people. I think
obviously like the market would have been different, but do you think that breaking in general would have been different?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So I think it brought so many people to be like,
I don't think
all
you're
right.
looking at Whatnot and Loop and yeah. stuff
no,
like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Those don't exist.
Now, do
therefore,
I think...
Therefore, that side of breaking doesn't exist, right?
Do
the
I think
the wheel
that,
spins and everything
do I think
else,
like
that just goes
the
away.
The latent sports cards
you
and
guys,
the breaks
I mean,
and the people who have been doing it for a long time.
Still
like,
breaking.
We'd still be business as usual.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
there wouldn't be the innovation that we've probably seen, but we would still be doing what we were doing. The business model was already set at that
and
point.
Maybe you know. Eventually, maybe we see the Whatnots and Loops and everything else in the world. Like, it was coming. There's
getting
no doubt
product,
about it.
Getting product and stuff like that would be different. Like, yeah. I mean, we all remember the times where, like, you would get NT football and we would all get 100 cases. Like, and you would look at it and go,
right. What like, am I going to do with this?
Uh-oh. Yeah. Look at my alloc. I got everything. I got everything I ordered.
Right.
Uh-oh.
Yep. Yep.
Like, you would just be like, we got to get through everything in one day.
Yep.
Like, we got to break it all in one day because it's going
to
f*** tank.
We're also under a lot of pressure to pay a lot of bills in a short amount of time.
Yeah. Yep.
We weren't the most liquid businesses either. Like, the second you couldn't get through a full run of product, you had to owe that much
money
on your next invoice.
And I think
you know?
Doug's trying to like wrap it up. But with our business model and your business model, we were in it at a time where 20% profit margin was basically how we built our business.
That's correct.
It was more like 10. I mean,
yeah,
you
I
know,
mean,
it
but
was
really?
Like,
yeah, we would
like
shoot, we would like shoot for 20.
Now it's what?
We would shoot for 20.
30, 40?
Back down to 10, or back down to 20, I would say. But
20
like,
to 30.
Yeah, yeah. we would 30, shoot.
Right?
Yeah.
We would shoot for 20
but
and be like, all right, 20 is our goal. At the end of the day, there's going to be products where we lose money.
That's
still got to ship it out. Still got to do what we're doing.
Do you guys feel that with Tops, do you think that's going to be a thing where
It's
you're
definitely
getting back
changed.
To the,
yeah, yeah.
You're getting back to that profit margin or no?
Yes and no on certain products. I mean, they're learning the market. Just
overall,
like we were,
though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like they're experimenting. They're starting lower. They're starting higher. They're trying to figure it out at the same time as well.
And what's different about this though is that they're actually asking us.
Yes,
and they care if
awesome.
They get it
and,
right.
And we
they actually
right.
care.
And
that
is
weird. We've never we saw it in the beginning with Panini in like 2012, 2013, 2014.
Yeah.
Okay, with the people that they had on hand at Panini at the time. They were reaching out. They were trying to start programs and trying to move things. And then kind of a new regime kind of moved into Panini. And I think they got away from that and started to get more into the first off the line thing and mm-hmm. kind of the other ventures and sneakers and this and that and the other thing. And I'm not mad at them for it. They had to do what was
but
best
were,
for them.
But they were getting information from distributors
but for,
that were selling us.
Exactly.
So they didn't have the direct.
Right.
The
we would tell Distro. Distro would spin their version of it and tell it to them. And good things came out of that. Bad things came out of mm-hmm. that. However, right now, I've never seen a more hands-on company in terms of manufacturing in this industry. It's not even close.
That's awesome.
Not
though.
Even close. Yeah.
I mean,
and it's amazing.
That's
like,
exciting for the hobby, though.
Having something to say about how a product is handled, how it's priced, how they should, you know, different promotional ideas and everything else. Like, that's a really big deal.
100%.
Yep. Yep. Well, I think that's all the time we have. We got to get to our eBay Live in 8 minutes now.
It'd be great.
Rich, so tell everybody how they can find you.
You guys can all find
everybody
me
knows where he's at.
LeightonSportsCards.com.
You know
also,
where he's at.
LeightonGaming.com.
And you have a new gaming location.
I do. In Altamont Springs, Florida. 6,000 square feet of gaming space open to retail. It opens on April 7th. April 15th is our grand opening. We have Victor Larson, former MetaZoo artist, coming in to do signing and hang out and host our first tournament of MetaZoo
awesome.
In the shop.
That's awesome.
Sweet. And another cool thing I have coming up, if you guys don't mind me kind of dropping.
No, plug it. Plug
that's,
it.
That's what you're here for. Plug
okay,
it up.
So
plug it up.
Is,
plug
this
away.
This is the first time that anybody's heard this.
Oh, exclusive.
So
exclusive.
I'm dropping something on you.
Hey, pay attention.
So
percolate your ears.
We're going to be doing an early release break of 2023 Bowman baseball.
Nice. What?
Either one day or 2 days before Bowman drops to the public, which is Wednesday the 26th. So yep. This would be on the 25th, Tuesday. We are going to go live at SGC from their headquarters. And we're going to do the first break ever where people are going to have their cards graded in real time during the break.
That's amazing.
Oh, shit.
That is awesome.
That's awesome.
A hobby first for Bowman firsts. We're calling it like a first type of thing.
Yeah.
These guys are going to do like quick turnaround grading. We're going to try to do it where it's like we only do a few cases, so it doesn't take up a lot of time. So most of the time can be shown like grading. Them taking the car and grading it and everything else. So it's going to be a balance between the two.
No, we're taking all the time.
It's Drew the Jones first time we've ever done something like this. So really excited to be a part of it. And SGC is like really easy company to work with. These guys are awesome. Mm-hmm. They've said yes to every idea that we kind of, you know, threw at them. And Tops and, you know, everybody at Fanatics and Tops that helped put this together was super cool about it. They want to make sure that we've got everything we need and they've got everything they need. So we're going to make sure that a lot of people can get into this break and do maybe like random player style, like all the guys that have.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Instead of like, it's random teams and we're doing it like this giant expensive break, we're going to try to break it down small. Like you know, that. Where maybe a lot more
and you'll be able to buy spots at Layton Sports Cards.
And you'll be able to buy spots at LaytonSportsCards.com and, you know, watch That's our awesome. Socials for promotions and everything else. It's going to be a lot of fun, man.
Appreciate it.
Dude, guys, thanks for having me on. Right. This is awesome.